Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara begins by quoting a Mishnah from Malkot, which says, "V'reminhu Elohein Alukin." These are individuals who get Malkot. Habalachoto, Balachot Aviv, someone who sleeps with his sister, his father's sister, his aunt, Balachot Imo, his aunt through his mother's side, Balachot Ishto, his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, Bal Ishet Achiv, his brother's wife, Bal Eshet Achei Aviv, or his father's brother's wife, which is his aunt through marriage, Bal Anida, and to Anida. Now, if you look at our Mishnah, that's identical to the list of individuals who are mentioned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, back on Chavtet, Bal Ochoto, Bal Ochot Aviv, Bal Ochot Imo, Bal Ochot Ishto, Bal Eshet Achei, Bal Eshet Achei Aviv, Bal Anida, Yesh Lehem Knas. They do have Knas. So what you see here is a list of individuals in the Mishnah and Makot who get Malkot. On the other hand, we have a list in our Mishnah of individuals who are paying Kenas. Now, Makot are also associated with Karet. We know the individuals that are enumerated in our Mishnah are Chayavin Karet. If they get Hatra, if they are warned, they will get Malkot for a violation of Karet. And that's what the Mishnah and Makot is speaking about. Now, V'kaimalon, De'eno loke umishalem. We have a principle, which the Gemara takes for granted right now, that you cannot be both loke and mishalem. You can't get malkot and pay money at the same time. Two punishments for the same infraction. So you can't have two punishments for the same infraction. We're not sure which one is the right. I mean, it could be that you get malkot, it could be that you pay, but we do know that you're not going to get both of them. Now, as far as the Mishnah in Makot, it's easy to explain that Mishnah, because that Mishnah can be talking about a Bogeret. That can be talking about a woman who already is past the age where she would receive a Knas. Both the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir argue about when a girl gets Knas, when she is a Bitula, that is raped. We know that both of them agree that a Bogeret is excluded. So there you could argue that the Mishnah in Makot is speaking about a Bogeret. But in our Mishnah, which clearly says she's entitled to Knas, means that she's of an age where she could get Knas, and yet, what happens to the Makot? What's going to be in that situation? How can it be that she gets Knas and not Makot? So now, Amar Ula, Lokasha. Ula has a solution to the problem, and we'll see later in today's Daf Rabbi Yochanan's solution to the problem. Kan ba'achuto ne'ara, kan ba'achuto bogeret. Exactly what I mentioned here, the one in Makot will be speaking about Achoto Bugeret, and therefore we're only going to be speaking about Makot and not payment, not Knas. Our Mishnah will be speaking about Achoto, his sister, who is a Ne'ara, who is in the world of Knas for the case of Me'anes, and that's why he pays over here. Now the Gemara says, okay, that's not so simple because Achoto Bugeret, Nami, Ha'ika. Now when it comes to Achoto Bugeret, you're right, there is no Knas, but there's still other compensation that he has to make in the cases of rape, which are boshet upigam. Boshet and pigam are the obligation. When a person is anes a woman, not only does he pay the knas, the knas is simply a fine that sits on top. That doesn't deal with the other aspects that come along with the anes. First of all, boshet, the embarrassment, the busha caused to the woman. Pigam, the diminution in value that is caused to this woman. And lastly, tzara, the pain that was caused to this woman. That's the physical pain. Boshet is more of the psychological pain that is dealt with. Here, the tzara is the physical pain caused to that woman. So you still have payment in those cases. Now, we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to say it's clear, but Ula's conclusion is that when I have a conflict between Malkot and payment, payment trumps. You're going to pay. So the Mishnah in Malkot, I just set it up in a case where there's no Knas. That's why you're getting Malkot. Now, the Gemara is challenging that and saying there are other payment issues, so we have to deal with those. Our Mishnah says that you pay Knas. Our Mishnah says you pay Knas because it's a woman who is of an age that would pay Knas. And therefore, yes, there is a possibility of Malkot, but there's also a possibility of payment. Payment trumps. And therefore, in our Mishnah, Knas is what is paid. But now the Gemara is trying to deal with the Mishnah and Malkot because there are other items. Even when you don't pay Knas, there's still these other compensation factors that are involved, like Boshet and Pagam. Where it says Bishota, it's a case where she is a Shota, and therefore, there's no boshet because this is a woman that doesn't have a sense of self or embarrassment. And pigam, The real issue of pagam, the way that it's determined, Rashi describes it over here, but the Gemara in other places deals with it. Anytime we have benezek, pagam is what does the person fetch in the market, the slave market today? And after this, what does a woman fetch in the slave market without this factor? The shota doesn't really matter. Whether she's a betula or not, it's not going to change the real value of this woman. Someone's not going to buy her either way because of the fact that she's not of sound mind. So it doesn't really change her pagam. Where it says, Vayikatsaro, even for a shota, even if you say there's no boshet, there's no pagam, there's still the problem of tzara. Where it says, okay, we'll set up the case, b'mifuta, a case where she was seduced. So in the case where she's seduced, then there's acquiescence on her part. So you can't claim tzara in the case where she is seduced because she was a willing participant in that case. Where it says, hashta da'ati da'achi. Well, now that you got there, afilu teima achoto nara, if you're going to say achoto nara, create the case, b'yitoma imifuta. So Girsa of Rashi, that we're talking about a yitoma, a girl, not necessarily who is orphaned, but a girl who was married off and then divorced. Now, obviously, she wasn't married off completely. She didn't reach nisuin, otherwise she wouldn't be a betula anymore. So one girl who had erusin and then was divorced from the erusin. So she becomes a yitoma b'chaye av. She becomes a yitoma while her father is still alive because he loses any rights to her. And then she's a mifuta. Now, being a mifuta, she is mochelet on whatever monetary compensation she's going to get. One, the tzara, the pain, which is really her pain. But in addition to that, the boshet and pagam, which if they went to her family or if they went to her father, in that case, she couldn't be mochelet on it, even if she was a mifuta. On the other hand, here where she's on her own reconnaissance because she is a yitoma b'chayav, in that case, she can be mochel on those issues. And therefore, according to Rashi, yitoma, that is a mifuta, all of those things are covered because they would have been paid to her directly. Since they would have been paid to her directly, she could be mochelet on those payments, and that's why there's no payment in the case in the Mishnah in Makot. Many others have a girs over here, be it Tomas Shota or Mifuta, that many of the other Rishonim have the word Shota still in there, and most likely to deal with the issue of Boshet, which is Boshet is not only a personal issue, it's a familial issue, and therefore even if she's on her own, she still affects her family in the case of Boshet, and that she can't forgive or give up. And therefore, by making a shota, where there's no din of Boshet, because it's a woman who's not of sound mind, already doesn't, the family, quote-unquote, is already embarrassed. So there's nothing more to embarrass them about, and that's why there would be no Boshet as well in that case. But Rashi keeps it in the way our Gemara has it, is that we're talking about a yitoma mifuta. Alma, from this you can conclude, kasavar ula kohecha de'ika mamon umalkot. Anytime you have money going up against Malkot, I mean, the same infraction causes a penalty that is monetary and the requirement of Malkot, Mimona Mishalim, Milka Loloki. You would pay money and you would not get Malkot. That we know from our Mishnah. The way that he suggests our Mishnah is a case by a Ne'ara, who was Ne'anas. In that case, she will collect the Knas and there will be no Malkot based on the presumption that in Loloke Mishalim, you're not going to both pay and get Malkot. If our Mishnah is enumerating payment, that means that between payment and makot, payment trumped. And that's a way to explain our Mishnah. That's the way Ula is explaining our Mishnah. And the Gemara wants to know, Minole, how does Ula know that that's the case? How do you know when you have a conflict between makot and compensation, that compensation trumps in that case? Now, in the case of Eino Lokei Mishalim, Tosafot already starts to deal with this issue as to whether Knas is different, which is that you could argue Tosafot already did this on the previous Amudim with regards to Truma. In the case of the compensation of Truma, that compensation is not monetary compensation. It's not really a fine. It's actually kapara. Sometimes payment is not a compensation. It's not even a fine. It's kapara. In those cases, Tosafot says it may not be governed by the regular rules of Ein Dilein Loka Mishalein. Because when you deal with monetary matters, you can talk about one punishment. But when you're dealing with kapara, then the monetary compensation might be necessary even in the face of makot, because that's part of the kapara, or the other party could not forgive it. Even if the other party says, don't pay it, you may not be able to do that because it's a kapara that is incumbent upon you and they have no rights to be mokel on it. So we already saw that with regards to Truma, that Tosafot talked about the issue of kapara being differentiated in that way, that you might have to pay it even in the face of other punishments or other infractions. Over here, Tosafot tries to speak about Kenas. Does Kenas fall into that category, which is maybe Mamon and Kenas are different? In a case where you're paying monetary compensation, then that is doing the same thing that the Makot. It's a punishment. So either you pay the money, or you get the punishment. By a Kenas, which is a fine that sits on top, the fine is not necessarily connected directly to the damage that was caused or the level of the infraction, because even if the infraction is so high, you still pay the same Kenas. Even if it's a lower infraction, you still pay the same Kenas. So maybe over there you could argue that Kenas should be different. Tosafot in the end says that he thinks that no matter according to whom the Limudim go and he spends time on this, that Kenas and Mamon will fall into the same category and will be governed by En Elokei U'Mishalem. Therefore, in our case, you won't differentiate and say, oh, our mission is a Kenas, and that's why Kenas is different. But our mission only talks about Kenas, doesn't talk about Makot, so you have to say that, but Tosafot at least entertains that possibility, but in the end says Kenas and Mamon are the same. Now, in addition to that, the Gemara here wants to know, what's the reasoning behind Ula's position here, that when I have a conflict between Makot and money, money trumps? So the Gemara says, Minale l'ulaha. Where does Ula know this from? Gomar mi chovel bechaveiro. He learns it out from a person who injures his fellow Jew. Ma chovel bechaveiro, someone who causes an injury to his fellow Jew. Dika mamon umalkot. In that case, you both have monetary compensation that needs to be made. Plus you have malkot. Malkot comes from the pasuk which is loto sipo lakoto. Pasuk says with regards to beitin, when beitin is giving malkot to an individual, if they exceed the number of makot that they're supposed to give this individual, then that person is held accountable. The person who does that, that exceeded it, will be in violation of a law that he gave more than he was supposed to give. So from that, the Gemara learns out a law against injuring your fellow Jew. That means when you injure your fellow Jew, you're not only obligated to pay, to compensate for that, you're also in violation of a lota say in the Torah. A violation of a lota say in the Torah, it means that you're going to be chayav makot. In the case of chovel b'chaveiro, you are both obligated to pay the money, but also in violation of a law that should give you makot. In that case, what is the outcome of that conflict? Mamona mishalem, milkolo loki. In that case, you compensate, and we do not give makot. In any case where you have an individual that injures his fellow Jew, we're not giving him makot, he's going to compensate. So, avko echa dika mamona makot, so too, that'll be a binyan av. That any place that we have Mamona Malkot, Mamona Mishalim, Milkololoki, we'll establish a binyan out from this. This will be paradigmatic. That anytime we have a conflict between Malkot and Mamon, Mamon will govern and the Malkot will fall away. Gemara says, is that really a good limud? Malachovel b'chaviro, shekein chayav b'chamisha dvarim. Because the possibility here is the reason you make compensation and don't get Malkot is because the compensation by chovel b'chaviro has a chumrah that is associated with it. What's the chumrah of the payment or the compensation by chovel b'chaveiro? That you're not just chayav compensation, you're chayav for chamisha dvarim, the five things that are associated with damaging another person. And that is nezek, that is the actual damage that is caused. Then there's tsar, the pain that one caused. Shevet, the unemployment. Ripui, the doctor bills to rehabilitate the individual. And boshet, which is embarrassment. So you have these five items that are calculated in compensating a chovel b'chaviro. Nezek, again, is the damage that you cause, the diminution in value that you cause the individual. Tsar is the pain that you cause the individual. How much would somebody be willing to pay in order to have this done with anesthetic versus without anesthetic? That's the tsar. Ripoy, the doctor bills for the rehabilitation, whatever the medical costs of rehabilitation are. Shevet is the unemployment. The individual now is only can do this job, which is that he can be a shomer, he can do many lighter jobs, but he can't do the full job that he did before. So there is a loss in the employment prospects for this individual. And boshet is the embarrassment caused to this individual. So all those five things are involved. Maybe that's why by chovel b'chaveiro, we say that payment trumps malkot, because their payment is a chumrah. And that's why it's more chamur than the malkot. And therefore, you can't extrapolate from that or use that as a paradigm, because in other places, maybe compensation is not that chamur. Then the Gemara says something interesting. V'i mamona l'kula. Even if you think that mamon is kal, even if you think in this instance that mamon is not the chumrah, we are now suggesting the reason that you get compensation and not malkot by chovel b'chaveiro is because you pay the five things. That means maybe compensation by chovel b'chaveru is more chamur than malkot. That's the assumption of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, even if you think the other way around, which is that the compensation is more kal than the makot, even in that case, it will not be a paradigm. Now that's an interesting assumption. Why would you ever think that when you have a choice between two punishments, you would give the individual the lighter punishment? For instance, if an individual violates two offenses that result in a capital punishment, if that person then is subject to the death penalty or two death penalties, and we have two death penalties, we'll always pick the more stringent of the death penalties, and we'll say the other one is subsumed in that. We're not going to go to kula for him. Why is he getting away with the fact that we're going to pick the lighter of the two punishments? If makot is more chamor, why would you ever think that compensation is the right way to go? The answer might be here is because there's the nechbal. There's another party over here. And if we pick compensation, then the nechbal gets restitution. In the case where we pick makot, then, okay, yes, you gave him the more chamor punishment, the chovel, but then the nechbal is left without anything. That didn't help him at all. So maybe here there's a reason to go to kula and pick compensation because of the injured party. And therefore, it's to his benefit, we want to pick something that is the kula. So the Gemara says, even if you go mamon kula, you have the stad iser here is also more kal because shken hutar michalo bebeitin. Because chovel bechaveiro is mutar in beitin. Even though in general it's restricted against injuring one's fellow Jew, Beit Din has the right to injure a fellow Jew, to give makot to a fellow Jew. So we find instances where injury is mutar. So since we find places where injury is mutar, maybe the reason here, even though generally compensation is more kal, and we would not opt for that, but maybe over here we are opting for it because even the iser or the makot over here are a lighter form because it's mutar and Beit Din to give makot to an individual. So because of that kula, that's what gives us a different result by chovel b'chaveiro, which we cannot extrapolate to other cases where the isur is a full-fledged isur that doesn't have any kulot associated with it. So Gemara rejects that explanation for the reasoning behind Ula's position. Ela gamar mi'edim zomimim. Let us learn it out from Edim Zomimim. Edim Zomimim is a gzirat ha-katov, that when Edim come along and say about other witnesses that are testifying in a case, Imanu Aitem, you were with us on the day or about the incident that you were testifying, you were with us, there's no way you could testify about that. Then in that case, the Gzeret HaKetuvah is the first Edim have to pay Kasher Zamam Lasot Le'achiv, like they planned to do to their fellow Jew, meaning that they tried to cause him either a loss, they might have tried to cause him a death penalty, or they might have tried to cause him Makot. In all of those cases, they will do exactly or get exactly what punishment they were trying to inflict on the party in this case. So now, in that case of Edim Zomimim, Ma Edim Zomimim Dika Mamono Malkot, in the case of Edim Zomimim, for instance, in a case where they're trying to cause the other party some sort of monetary loss, they come and testify to the fact that he owes the other person 200 shekel. Comes in and says, you are a debtor for 200 shekel, you haven't paid it back, you need to pay 200 shekel. In that case, if they're found to be Edim Zomimim, their penalty will be that they pay 200 shekel. They have to pay compensation to the person they were trying to obligate in the 200 shekel. But in the instance where they do that, they're also lying. They're also Edi Sheker. Lo taneh bereacha Ed Sheker. They are in violation of an Iser Lav. So they have the possibility of getting Malkot for lying or being Edim that lie. But they also have to pay restitution because Kasher Zamam Lasot, like they plan to do their fellow Jew. So in that case, where you have both Dika Mamona Malkot, yeah, Mamona Malkot, yeah, what do we say? Mamona Mishalim. The punishment that they get is not the Malkot. We make them pay. We make them compensate the party that they were trying to cause injury or loss to. So now, Milka Lo Lucky, but they do not get Malkot. Afko Echa Dika Mamona Malkot. From that, we'll establish a paradigm. Anytime there's Mamona Malkot, Mamona Mishalim, Milka Lo Lucky. You will compensate with monetary means, and you will not get Malkot when you have both violations. The Gemara again says, how can you prove anything from Edim Zomimim? Because Edim Zomimim is really a chumra. Ma the Edim Zonim shekein enam tzrichim hatra'a. There is no necessity for a warning with regards to Edim Zomimim. So maybe the reason that you compensate in the case of Edim Zomimim is because kashem zamam lasot happens even without warning. Even now, without the normal protocol that you require, a procedure that you require for someone to be obligated in a punishment in Beit Din, that is not necessary over here. So maybe this is a special case. The reason you compensate is because this is such a chamur punishment. It's such a chamur punishment that we don't require regular protocol procedures to have a warning before they are punished. And maybe that's why, and therefore you can't extrapolate from that to other cases. V'mamonalukula, again, the same interesting question, which is, even if you suggest that, in this case, mamona is lekula. Again, Tosfot asks the same question here. V'im tomar itgurei itgarsh nidon bekala. Why should the party benefit, be rewarded, with the lower of the two punishments? Again, we're saying now that compensation is a more makil punishment, and we're still going to cause it the punishment. And Tosfot says what we said before. T'chas rachmana, amamona shel nechbal. That the Torah had rachamim on the nechbal, that he should get the restitution that he needs. And therefore, we're willing to let a go on the chovel and give him the lighter punishment so that the nechbal benefits. But then, oh, again here, v'im amon al-kulu, shekein lo asu maaseh. So too over here, even if you say that the payment is the lower of the two punishments, is the kal of the punishments, over here, it might be the reason that we go with that punishment is because the isur by Edim Zalimim is also a lighter isur. Why is it a lighter isur? There's no action here. Generally, we require for punishments with regards to violations that a person do a maaseh, they do something that's an action. Over here, the Edim Zalimim take no action. Even though the Gemara and other places suggest in Bava Metzia that the akimat svatav, the movement of the lips of the Edim Zalmimim is a maaseh, everybody agrees in many places the Rishonim note that that's not a full-fledged maaseh. That's not like the maaseh that we'd find in other places. That's a lower standard of action. And clearly here, they didn't do anything active to violate. They simply spoke. And therefore, this is a lighter form of Isur. And that's maybe why we go with the payment or compensation. But by other Isurim, that would not be the case. So now we've rejected the two Binyanei Av, the two paradigms that we thought would establish for us two cases in the Torah where monetary compensation trumps Malkot. We tried to use those as paradigms. In both cases, the Gemara rejects them as a possibility of using them for a Binyan Av or a paradigm. Then Ella, Gamar Mitarvayu. The Gemara does this in many places. Why can't we learn out from both of them together with a Ma Hatzad HaShaveh? Sheben, the common denominator between the two situations. Ma Hatzad HaShaveh Sheben De'ika Mamon U'Malkot. In both cases, we know that you have monetary compensation, Malkot, as options, as punishments. And Mamona Mishalim Milka Lo Loki. Common denominator between both of them is that you pay money and you do not get Malkot. Avko Echa De'ika Mamon U'Malkot Mamona Mishalim Milka Lo Loki. That will establish the precedent or the paradigm between the two of them. This common denominator will tell us that it can't be the chumrah by this party, because the chumrah by this party doesn't exist by the other party. So for instance, by the case of Edim Zomimim, if you say the reason maybe we compensate over there is because it's a lighter isur, because there was no action, there was no maaseh, by chovel b'chavero, there is an action and you still have it there. Chovel b'chavero, maybe there were mekio because shekein huter michlalo, it's huter michlalo by beitin, that we allow them to injure another Jew. By the case of Edim Zomimim, there is no Hutar Michlalo. And the same thing the other way around. Chamisha Dvarim is true by the case of Nezek, Chovel B'Chaveiro. By Edim Zomimim, there's no Chamisha Dvarim. It's just compensation for the loss that they were trying to inflict on the other party. So there we see that despite the Chumrah here, we still have it in the other case where that Chumrah doesn't exist. And by Edim Zomimim, the Chumrah is that there was no Hatra'ah. By Chovel v'Chaveiro, you have to have Hatra'ah. So all of these chumrot that you find by one don't exist by the other. So what is the common denominator between them? Simply that you have Mamon and Malkot, and Mamon trumps. Gemara says, Mal etzad shaveh shaben, shekeh shaveh shaben, sad chamur. The common denominator between them is that each one of them has a stringency involved. Now, Tosafot asks a question here. It's a very difficult question of the Gemara. Because the Gemara's question basically undermines the possibility of ever having a etzad shaveh. The whole idea of a tzad shaveh is that each item individually has something that is a chumrah associated. When I bring the two of them together, I say that the chumrah is irrelevant because each one has the chumrah, but both of them together don't. Both don't have the same chumrah. So the Gemara here asks, okay, just say that both of them have something stringent about them. Well, if you do that, then there's no more tzad shaveh. So Tosafot asks the question, he says, Kasha, dim kein lo nimod od min tzad shaveh b'shum makom. Anytime you have a limud that loses a tzad shaveh, that uses this common denominator as a method for limud, the reason that you're going to a tzad shaveh is because each case individually either had an extra kula or had an extra chumrah. And we're trying to establish that the Chumrah is not important because the common denominator between the cases is such, and neither one of these two cases has the same Chumrah. But if you always say, oh, if there's a Chumrah at all, then they can't be learned from, that's of course, that's the case in any Tzedek Shavet. That's why we're in the case of Tzedek Shavet. So Nira Lari, Tosafot says the answer is, Da'ach HaParich. Ha'achi, Shekein Yishben Tzad Chamur, Mishuna. That the Tzad HaChamur here is not something that's simply a Chumrah, it's a Chumrah that is unusual. It's a Chumrah that we don't find in other places. It's a Chumrah that is unique to these situations. And because of that, that's why the Gemara challenges over here, Tzad HaChamur, because this is not just simply they have stringency associated with them. They have an unusual stringency that is associated with them. Stringencies that we do not find in other places. If you have a stringency that is simply a stringency, for instance, that is true because it goes to the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach is found by other cases. You'll find that that being a stringency of Kedusha or of Hekdesh that goes to the Mizbeach. So there are numerous types of cases that have that. That's not true here. In this case, these are unique Chumrot that apply over here that we don't find in other places. And because of that uniqueness, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying not that each, both of them have Chumrah. Both of them have a unique Chumrah, and maybe that changes the dynamic of here. It says, these are unique Yisurim that we can't learn from. This is unique, that's unique. You can't bring two unique items together and say that it creates a Tzedek Shavet. And that's why Tosafot says, the Gemara is asking the question here, it does not challenge from it in other places. So, V'i Mamono Lekulahu, Shekein Yesh V'hem et Tzedekah. And the other way around. If you say that in the end we give the lighter punishment, then again, the Tzedek Shavet Ben, the common denominator is that they both have this kula associated with them. Again, the kula by Edim Zomimim is that there's no maaseh, and the kula bechovel bechaviro shekein hutar michlalo. So over there they have this common kula. Maybe that's what's generating the payment here instead of the isur. Ella, the answer for Ula is why does he think this? Ella tachat gamar. He learns out a gzeira shava. It's a gzeira shava, as Rashi says, that it's mufneh, that is available. These are extraneous words. And those extraneous words allow us to learn it without any questions being asked anymore. Logical arguments don't matter anymore. This is simply a limud of gzeira shava. Gemar ketivach, it says, tachad asherina. By the case of anes, it says that he has to compensate here. He has to pay her because he tachad asher ina, because he afflicted this woman. He did something that was terrible to this woman. Uchtiv ha'atam, and it's written over there, ayin tachat ayin, that an eye for an eye. Mahatam memona mishalem milkololoki. Just like over there, ayin tachat ayin is compensation and not the loss of an eye. Avkohecha de'ika memona umalkot, memona mishalem milkololoki. Just like over there, ayin tachat ayin is the compensation for an individual who was injured. Over there we say that you pay compensation, you do not get malkot. And you pay compensation, we don't take out his eye. So that tachat that is for compensation over there will come to our tachat over here and say there is compensation over here. And therefore, kohecha deika mamono malkot, mamono mishalem, milkolo lucky. Any case, and this language supports Rashi's understanding over here, that means that any place, any case where we have a conflict between an infraction that generates both a need for compensation and malkot, then we'll opt for compensation and not malkot according to Ula. Rashi says this is a broad determination. This establishes a precedent again, which we're going to learn from, and it'll be paradigmatic in that way that we'll learn everything from this. Tosafot speculates over here. If you look at Tosafot, Ela Ula Tachat Tachat Gamar, Matzina Lameimar Lefi Maskanazu, Lo Kamar Ula Memona Mishalem Velo Loki Elo Bahanu Tzlat De Gali Behu Kra. There is a possibility here that Ula only believes that this is true in these three instances: the instance of Edim Zomameim, the instance of Chovel Bechaviro, and the instance of Ones of rape. In those three cases, that's where Ula says, Mamona Mishalim, Milkololoki. But we will not extrapolate from this to all other cases that he should pay Kesef, because over here we're learning at Xerah Shavah, and the Xerah Shavah is very particular. Ain't it something we already know the din is this way? By the case of Cholel B'Chaverel, we also know that that's the case. So now, how do I know it by Me'anes? I learn Xerah Shavah. Xerah Shavah is very particular. It brings the information from one case, the case of compensation, over to the case of me'anes, and that's it. It's limited in its scope. And it's not necessarily that we're going to extrapolate or use it as paradigmatic in any way. And therefore, he believes that maybe over here, it is limited to these three instances. Right, so now that's the end of Ula's position and Ula's answer as to what the difference between our Mishnah and Makot and the Mishnah over here is. Again, the Mishnah and Makot is talking about a Bogeret where there is no Knas. Since there's no knas, there's no conflict between compensation and malkot. That's why I get malkot. Gemara asks, what about the other issues of boshet, gam, and tzara? So Gemara says it was a itoma mefuta, which solves all those problems, and therefore, in that instance, there was only malkot left, so that was the only option left. In our Mishnah, since knas is there, knas will trump, because money always trumps malkot, and that is the position of Ula. Rabbi Yochanan comes up with a different answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu tema achuto ne'ara. Even in both cases, our Mishnah here, as well as the Mishnah in Makot, we're talking about a case where it's his sister who's in Ne'ara, who's entitled to Knas. Kan shehitrubo, kan shelo hitrubo. Depends if they gave Hatra. When are you chayav Makot in a case of Karet? In a case of Karet, it's only if they warn you. If they give you Hatra for Makot, you will get Makot in a case of Chiyuv Karet. But if they don't warn you, you will not get Makot, you will only be left with Karet. So when do you have a conflict? You only have a conflict between Makot and Mamon, in a case where there was Hatra. So in the case in the Mishnah and Makot, there they gave Hatra, they warned the individual, don't do this violation, otherwise you're going to get Malkot. He goes ahead and does it. Guess what? He's going to get Malkot. He's not going to pay. Because in that case there was Hatra, Malkot will trump compensation. Our Mishnah over here, why is it that he's paying the Knas and not getting Malkot? Because they didn't give Hatra. There was nobody there warning him, you're going to get Malkot. So then there's a Chiyuv Karet versus Mamon. In that case, Chiyuv Karet does not trump. That's only Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's position. We don't hold like that, or our Mishnah clearly doesn't hold like that. And therefore, you're faced with Karet and Mamon. Mamon will trump, at least in the near term. Karet will still exist in the background, because that's Minas Shamayim. But you'll have to compensate. You'll have to pay Kenas. This enters us into another layer of the issue of when you have an infraction that generates two punishments, what is the din? Do you have to actually be faced with both punishments in order to trump the other punishment? Or even the potential of a punishment's enough to wipe it out? And what you're seeing here from Rabbi Yochanan is very clear. Rabbi Yochanan believes only if the punishment, in reality, you're faced with that choice, will it matter. If the punishment is in the background, it just never came into fruition here, it has no bearing. This will not be true all the way through, and we're going to see that. This is going to have more impact on the upcoming Dafim as we discuss this, that even mitat shogegim, even a person, for whatever reason, violates an isor bishogeg that would result in capital punishment, that might also exempt them from the monetary compensation in that case. It's clear that Rabbi Yochanan does not hold like that, and that's what the Gemara is about to say. Amal kasav Rabbi Yochanan, ko'echa dika mamonu malkot, va'atshube. Anytime when you have a conflict between monetary compensation and malkot, va'atshube, and there was a warning given that you would get malkot, milkalaki, mamona, lo mishalem. Then he will get malkot and not have to compensate. Now, manale the Rabbi Yochanan ha. So now, where does Rabbi Yochanan know this from? The question of the Gemara is not such a great question because Rabbi Yochanan conforms to what we would have thought. In a situation when you have a conflict between Mamon and Malkot, what would be the one that you think is the Chumrah? It's pretty clear that Malkot should be the Chumrah, and therefore you would opt for Malkot and not Mamon. So Rabbi Yochanan's situation or statement seems more logical. Ula, we understand why the Gemara asks the question. Ula, the Gemara challenges him and says, oh, you have a conflict between Mamon and Malkot, you pay Mamon? That seems to be the less likely outcome. So the Gemara asks, what's his reasoning? Over here by Rabbi Yochanan, why is the Gemara asking for his reasoning? His position is the more logical of the positions. That's what you would have assumed that he had no information. So the Tosfot Yishanim over here suggests the reason is because in the end, Ula brought Gzeira Shava. In the end, Ula says his reasoning derives from Gzeira Shava. Once he does that, then we have to ask Rabbi Yochanan, okay, what about the Gzeira Shava? Once you have the Gzeira Shava, now you have to ask Rabbi Yochanan, don't you have the Gzeira Shava? Why don't you have the Gzeira Shava? Why do you think differently? And that's why the Gemara is challenging Rabbi Yochanan's position to find out what he believes. Because he says, I'm a krah. The Pasuk says, k'dei rishato, that you're only allowed to punish him the amount of his rishat, the amount of evil or infraction that he committed. Mishum rishachat atam michayvo, v'yatam michayvo mishem shtei rishuyot. You're allowed to punish him one punishment. You cannot punish him twice. So there is this idea that you cannot be brought to trial twice over the same infraction in the law that's called double jeopardy. Up here, the Torah says to us that you may not be punished twice for the same infraction. Now, which one of the two infractions? All that told you is, if you have two punishments, you only get one. How do you know which one of the two that you get? He says, because it continues over there, v'samichle arba'im yakenu. Because after it says, k'dei rishato, that you will punish him the amount of evil or iniquity that was committed over here. And right after that, the parsha says, Arbim Yakenu. Well, which Risha will he get then? Which will be the punishment? Malkot. That will be the outcome over there. So what Rabbi Yochanan says is that we have a principle. This is a principle that's very important. Kedei Rishato. Debi Shato says we'll never have two punishments. So anytime we're faced with two punishments, we're always going to have to make a decision about which one of the punishments to give. It's clear that Ula says when we have this conflict, that you compensate and you don't get Malkot. Where does he learn that? He learns it out of Tachat Tachat from the Gzeir Shavu. Again, Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, as to whether that means in all cases it'll be that way or only in those three unique cases. Rabbi Yochanan believes the other way around, that when you're faced with the two punishments, Malkot Trump. Why do Malkot Trump? Because in the Pasuk that tells us you only get one punishment, the next line is the punishment of Malkot. So Mar says, okay, for him, what is Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the case of Chovel b'chaveiro, where he injures a fellow Jew? In that case, you're faced with Mamon and Malkot, and we punish with Mamon. Why is that? So what are you going to suggest? Rabbi Yochanan is the easy way out. Just say they didn't give Hatra over there. They didn't give Hatra. That's why you're compensating, because there was no Malkot in that case. Where it says, v'atrubei milkoloki en ochanami. If they gave him warning and told him, if you hit your friend, you're going to get Malkot, then you would get Malkot and Manolam Mishalim. Is that really true? V'hamar, Rabbi Amiam, Rabbi Yochanan, hikau haka'a shein ba'shaveh pruta. Person does injury or hits his fellow Jew, where the damage that is caused is less than a pruta, loke, then he gets Malkot. Because in the case where it's less than a shaveh pruta, it's lo nitan lahi shavon, it's something that you would not pay. That means that the punishment of Mamon falls away. So we said here that the whole problem of punishment of Malkot versus Mamon is because you only get Kedei Rishato. You have to pick one. So in a normal case, we would pick Tashlumim. Over here, where there is no Tashlumim, the Tashlumim fall away, then you know what the one that left is Malkot. So in that case, the person is Chovel B'Chaveiro, and there is no monetary compensation to be made because it's below the threshold of a Pruta, then you will get Malkot. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Idulo Atrubei, if they didn't warn him, am I Loket? Then why is there Malkot at all? Elabshita da Atrubei. It's clear that they gave him Hatra'ah, and he's getting Malkot. But time of delayed base shavet pruta. The only reason you're getting malkot over here is because you're below the threshold of a shavet pruta. Ha'id ba shavet pruta. Had it been over that threshold, mamona mishalem milko lo lucky. Even the face of hatra. So even when there's a warning to get malkot, if there's a need for compensation, compensation trumps. So why over here would Rabbi Yochanan evoke his principle that a conflict between punishing through monetary compensation and malkot, you should get malkot? Why doesn't that apply? Bechovel bechaviro. Because the Torah explicitly includes Edim Zomim for compensation. Hachanami. So too in the case of Chovel B'Chaveiro, Beferush Ribta Torah, Chovel B'Chaveiro L'Tashlumim. The Torah explicitly says that there's compensation to be made to the fellow party. So in that case, you can't say the Torah, if it's telling you you got to compensate, the Torah must mean that you have to compensate. The Torah is saying here that that is the way to rectify this situation. Rectifying a chovel b'chaviro is compensation and not malkot. The Torah says, or basically is indicating that this is an exception to the rule. And because there is an exception to the rule over here, then that is why compensation is made. And that's what the suggestion of Rabbi Yochanan is that this is not the rule, this is the exception, and therefore that is why you're going to pay mamon and not get malkot in this case. So the Gemara says, Veichi itmar de Rabbi Yilo. Now, we just said, the Torah explicitly says, v'edim zomim, there is compensation, and not malkot. So where was that said? Where's that statement of Rabbi Yilo made? Aha, it was made on this. Me'edim anu et ish ploni, shechayav lechavero matayim zuz. We testify about so-and-so, that he's a debtor, he owes this individual 200 zuz. V'nimtzu zomimim. And they're found out to be edim zomimim. Lokim u mishalmim, v'edim zomimim. They get malkot, and they compensate over here. Shlo Hashem mevi'im l'day malkot, mevi'an l'day tashlumim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, because it's not the same, I don't know what, that brings them to malkot, that brings them to compensation. Rabbi Meir is unique Tana, it's the only Tana that we find that does not hold of Kedei Rishato. He's the only one who says that we will invoke two punishments, we will grant two punishments in the case where there are two punishments. Now, doesn't mean that he doesn't hold like commonly derabim mine. But in the case where we invoke Kedei Rishato, which is dealing with money and malkot, Rabbi Meir believes that you can actually get both of them. Now, what is meant by his statement is a little difficult. I'm going to come back and explain it in 1 second. Chamim amrim kol mishalim eino luke. The Chamim say that anybody who pays doesn't get malkot. So b'nei ma kol luke eino mishalim. How come the Chachamim, when they had to pick kedei rishato, they picked that you pay and you don't get malkot? Again, the more logical answer should be you get malkot and don't pay. Why don't they say that? Amar Rabbi Yila. Here is the statement of Rabbi Yila. Beferish ripta torah edim zomimim le'tashlumim. Here, the Torah explicitly adds on Edim Zomim to Tashlumim, and the Gemara will ask where that is. We'll get to that in 1 second. Rabbi Meir's position, it says, Lo Hashem Meviyem L'Dei Makot Meviyem L'Dei Tashlumim, Divrei Rabbi Meir, what does that mean? Rashi claims that it's two different lavin. The lav that causes you the punishment of Tashlumim is different than the lav that gets you the Malkot. Edim Zomimim are Chayav Malkot because of Lo Tana Birecha Eid Shaker. That's where they get their Malkot from. With regards to Tashlumim, they get that from Kasher Zamam, Nasot Achiv. So Rashi claims that Rabbi Meir believes that here you're going to get two punishments because they derive from two sources. And so what Rabbi Meir's sheet does based on, according to Rashi, is that as long as I have different sources for the punishment, I'm okay giving that two punishments. If they derive from the single source, then I would have, and possibly Rabbi Meir would agree that I'm not going to give both punishments. Tosafot, folks who does not like Rashi's explanation, at least tries to give credence or explain Rashi's position, which is, we want to be mekayim the pasuk. We want to be mekayim what the pasuk says. So in a case where the lav derives from one pasuk, and the compensation derives from the other pasuk, if I left out one of them, if I didn't do one of them, then one of the lavim, or one of the punishments would be a zero. That means if I give you compensation, not makot, lo tana berecha yitshaker goes by the wayside. If I say that we give you malkot and not tashlumim, that means kashirim zamam lasod achiv goes by the wayside. So in that case where I have two separate isurim, I want to give credence to both psukim, and therefore I'm going to punish by both of them. If both punishments derive from the same pasuk, then in that case maybe I will argue that you can give one punishment because at least I did something that the pasuk said. I may not have done all what the pasuk said, but at least I accomplished something. I covered some of that pasuk. So that's the explanation that Tosafot gives to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. But Tosafot then takes issue with that and says that he doesn't think this is right, because ve'ein nira l'ri, d'lo mistaber sh'liu chayvim mamon u'malkot b'giyah gavna, kevin sh'ratzu l'chayev shnehem. Over here, the individual wants to cause both punishment. For instance, they come and testify about an individual who will cause him both malkot and compensation. For instance, they say he was motzi shemra. The case where you implicate someone for being Motzi Shemra, he will have to pay money, restitution to the father of the girl, plus they're going to get Malkot for saying something wrong or lying about a Betulah B'Yisrael. So here where they try to obligate them, they're going to cause the individual they're testifying about Malkot and Tashlumim. So now what we're going to say is, oh, okay, in that case, you want to cause both of those, we'll only give you one. He says it doesn't make sense. Tosafot says there's more likelihood that when they derive from the same Yisur, that you'll give both punishments. When they derive from separate Yisurim, then there's more likelihood that we can break it up. Because then we can say, Kasher Zaman, we included. Lotanecha doesn't apply here. It's just not relevant over here. So therefore, Nehir the Reed of Faresh. So how does he explain Lo Hashem over here? Sheshlo Hashem Yivyo L'Dei Makot, Klomar. Shatashlumim Lo Nichtavu B'Samuch L'Malkot. That the Tashlumim is not written close to the Malkot. Dimeyakotu b'oto pasuk atzmo. Had they been written in an adjacency, juxtaposed to each other, then I would have thought that it's a lava nitak le'aseh. If I told you you had to do both of these items, then you might have thought the compensation and the lav come together, that one takes care of the other. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Meir says, if I found out that in this case, you had to make compensation and get Malkot, and they were both found right next to each other in the pasuk, I would say, either you compensate, and therefore you won't need malkot, because that's a lav anitak d'aseh. D'aseh is, do the compensation, you won't get malkot. That'll rectify the malkot. You don't pay, you're going to get malkot. Lav anitak d'aseh. So maybe that is what is meant over here by Rabbi Meir. But when they're found in two places in the Torah, one's found over here, one's found over there, you can't call that a lav anitak d'aseh. Now Tosafot is faced with a problem with that, because gzeilah. By the case of Gzeilah, Veshivita Gzeilah Shir Gazal is not found near the lav of Lo Tigzol. And we still call that a lav and itak da'aseh. Lo Tigzol, and if you do steal, Veshivita Gzeilah Shir Gazal. So it's clearly a lav and itak da'aseh, and there they're not juxtaposed. The lav and the aseh are not next to each other. So Tosafot says over there, it's obvious that it's a lav and itak da'aseh. because Veshiv the Gzela, Sher Gazal, right, then the Gzela is gone. There is no Gzela anymore, and that's why it's clear that's a Lavani Takta Asay. Over here, it's not obvious that the compensation of Kasher Zamam Nasod Achiv covers Lotan Ebrach Eid Shaker. It's not so clear. So if they were near each other on the Pasuk, I might have thought they were Lavani Takta Asay, or there is some rectification. Here, where they're found in opposite ends of the Torah, it's clear they're not Lavani Takta Asay. And that's what Lo Hashem means. That there's no connection between the two violations. And since there's no connection between them, that's why I opt for both of them. But not like Rashi says, because they derive from two different psukim. If they derive from the same pasuk, it would be fine. As long as it doesn't look like they are, one is the rectification of the other. That's the way the Ri explains this wording over here, Shalom Hashem Emivio. Then he brings down from a Rav Shlomo Midarvaish, Mifareish, Shalom Hashem Emivio Lide Makot, Aino Lotaneh, Emivio Lide Tashlumim, Perishenu Baliot Azara, Onish Tashlumim. That he says that many times we have this in the Torah, you have a lav. How do you know whether you get malkot for the lav? Or the lav is simply an azara, a warning for the punishment that you will get. So for instance, by Shabbat, it says, lo taseh kol melacha. Lo taseh kol melacha is a lav. So why doesn't an individual get malkot for violation of lo taseh melacha? Because the Torah specifies in other places what the punishment for the violation of Shabbat is. Karet, skila. There are punishments. So therefore, lo taseh kol melacha becomes an azara, a warning. Don't do this, because if you do this, you will get this punishment. So, in the case where a lav acts in azara, then you don't get malkot, it's simply a warning to the other punishment. On the other hand, where you have a lav that stands by itself, where you have a lav that says, don't do this, well, if it just says, don't do this, and there's no punishment associated with it, then the lav brings to malkot, assuming that it qualifies for all the requirements that you need to get malkot, but then you get malkot. So how do I know over here, lo taneh b'recha eid shaker, is not an asara, that if you do this, then kasher zamam lasod achiv, that you will get punishment but eidim zomimim or kasher zamam. Is that a lav that is an asara to the punishment of kasher zamam? Or is it an independent lav that is making get malkot? And that's what he says over here. What is shlo hashem emivio means that the kasher zamam lasod achiv is not, the lav there is not from lo tanach abriel shachar, but rather, it comes from the end of the pasuk, which says, "Call Israel, Yishmu v'Yirou, v'lo yosifu lasot." Over there, the pasuk says that we punish the Edom Zomimim in a way that people will see it, be fearful, v'lo yosifu lasot, and they will not continue to do this. That's the lav. So he says, you know where the lav or the azara for Edom Zomimim comes from? From lo yosifu. It doesn't come from lo taneh b'riachad eid shaker. And that's what he means, shalo hashem. They're not connected. The lav of lo taneh b'riachad shaker is not the azara, the warning for Edim Zalmanim. It's a separate law completely. And that's why you can get Malkot over here. Had it been that that was the Azhara for the punishment of Kasher Zaman Lasod Achiv, then you would only get one punishment because the Azhara leads to the punishment of Kasher Zaman Lasod Achiv. And that's what Rabbi Meir is saying. I'm sorry. That is not the case over here. The case over here is that's not an Azhara that brings you to the punishment of Kasher Zaman. That law comes from Lod Yosifu, the law that is associated with the Edim Zalmanim themselves. Alright, now the Gemara continues and says, Heichan Ribta Torah. Where is this riboy that Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about? He says the Torah specifically included Tashlumim by Edim Zomimim. And then the Gemara said that's true also by Chovel B'Chaviro. The question is, where is that? Where is this specific inclusion? So Gemara says, Mikhtektiv, Vasitim lo kasher samam lasot le'achiv. Says in the Pasuk that those Edim Zomimim will be punished through a punishment that is exactly what they tried to cause to the other party. The damage, the punishment they tried to cause, they will get themselves. Yad biyad lomali. At the end of the Parsha of Edim Zomimim, there's a list over there. It says yad biyad, meaning that hand for hand, so on and so forth. Why is that needed over there? Davar nitan miyad biyad. To tell you, it's for something that is given from hand to hand. What is something that's given from hand to hand? My new mamo. That's compensation. So it comes to teach you that you compensate in that case. Tosafot says, I don't understand this at all. The punishment here says, Vasitim lo kasher zamam lasod achiv, that you're going to do whatever they tried to do, you're going to do to them. In that case, why do I even need yad biyad at all? I mean, if they're going to try to obligate him money, then they're going to pay money. Why do I need a specific inclusion of yad biyad? So he says, Rafilu lo miyatar yad biyad. Even if that was not extraneous, mash v'shapir momo, delekele frushi yad biyad mamash. Nobody's going to say that if you're going to take his arm off, you're going to take his arm off. First of all, the Torah doesn't punish that way, number one. Number two is, you can never obligate someone to lose their arm. So the Edim can never make them obligate them to lose their arm, so why should they ever lose their arms? That cannot be the explanation. The explanation, even if it was not extraneous, is clearly monetary compensation. So why do I need this whole limud of yad b'yad being miyater? Because maybe the situation by vasitim lo kasher zamam is a case when they were trying to obligate the individual both monetarily and cause him malkot. In that case, kasher zamam would say to do both malkot and the monetary compensation. And that's why we need yad b'yad to teach us in that situation, even when there's malkot and compensation, compensation will trump or be the only option at vasitim lo kasher zamam nasod le'achiv. But then Tosfos points out that the lashon or the language here does not sit so well with the explanation, and therefore he gives this alternative explanation. He says, because this is the source for the fact that all these cases, how do you know that in Parshat Mishpatim, when it says ayin tachet ayin, in those instances, how do you know ayin tachet ayin means monetary compensation and not literally an eye for an eye? Because you learn it out miyad liyad. From the case by Edim Zomimim, yad liyad, totally talking about compensation. So just like over there, it's talking about compensation. Those two ayin tachet ayin is compensation. And that's what it means over here. Why do I need yad liyad lumali? Why is that extraneous, the word yad liyad? Because if it were not extraneous, I wouldn't know that monetary compensation is made in cases where there is a physical injury that's done. Ayin tachet ayin would have thought literally is an eye for an eye, had it not been for the fact that yad liyad is extraneous. You're right. For Edim Zomimim itself, it wouldn't have mattered so much. Because the Sher Zamam Lasod Achiv is, yes, Biyad Biyad means that whatever they wanted to do, if it was money, it's money. That we would have known that it's compensation. So what is Biyad Biyad? What is that extraneous nature of Biyad Biyad come to teach you? That everywhere where we have eye for an eye, where we have any of these exchanges, they all mean monetary matters. And that's what we're learning out of here. That's what Tosafot says is the nature of this Yad Miyad. All right, so then the Gemara continues and says, so then, what does it mean that also chovel b'chaviro, also over there we have something that teaches us that mamon mashalim, michtektiv, it says, kasher asa, ken yaselo, like he did, we will do to him, ken yinatein bo, talking about the injury of a fellow Jew in Parshat Vayikra, to the tail end of Emor, there, by the end of the Parshat Migadev, there's a list of laws that apply over there, and it says, kasher asa ken yaselo, like he did, and the list of items over there, if you cause injury to an animal, if you cause injury to another person, it says, like he did, ken yaselo, that's what you're going to do to him. Then the puzzle continues, ken yinatein bo, so too you will do to him. Lomali, why do you need that extra ken yinatein bo? Kasher asa ken yaselo is enough. Why do I have to say kasher asa ken yaselo ken yinatein bo? That seems extraneous. So davar sheyesh bo nitina. That means that you're going to do this through something that requires nitina, handing. Manihu, what is handed from hand to hand? That is mamon. So again, over there, you have an extraneous pasuk that teaches you that the way to rectify the situation, the way to deal with chovel b'chaviro is keni nateino, that you give, you have to pay compensation. So we see in both these instances, both by Edim Zomimim and by the case of chovel b'chaviro, in both those instances, we have an extraneous wording or pasuk that teaches us that monetary compensation is important in these cases. So important that it will trump the malkot that you otherwise should have gotten in these instances. So, had I been a choice between malkot and mamon, in general, Rabbi Yochanan believes malkot will trump. But in these cases, we have an exception because the Torah goes out of its way to prove to you that with an extraneous pasuk, mamon is the payment here. And again, the Chachamim believe David Chateau, you can only give one punishment. If mamon is the punishment, malkot will not manifest over here. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you pay money here and you do not get malkot. Rabbi Meir, who's not faced with that issue, thinks that David Chateau is not an issue. He'll pay both money and get malkot in these cases of Edim Zomamim, and possibly by Chovel B'Chaveiro as well. He's going to say the same thing, that you get punished both by mamon and malkot. Now, a key difference between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, again, is this case where there's no hatra'ah. In a case where there's no hatra'ah from malkot, it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan believes that you pay in that case, and you don't get malkot. According to Ula, based on Tosafot on the Amud Aleph, which asks, how do we know that Ula really holds that whenever you have a conflict between mamon and malkot, mamon trumps, and not just that this is one of the exceptions of the rule, like Rabbi Yochanan, how do we know that? Because it must be that even if you did not give hatra'ah, then you would have had to get malkot and not compensation. To Ula, it doesn't matter whether you have hatra'ah or not, because in both cases, Ula says, Mamon Mishalem, and it's irrelevant whether you had Malkot there or not had Malkot. For Ula, it's irrelevant whether there was Hatra or there wasn't Hatra, that neither one of them stopped the payment. Payment trumps in those cases. Rabbi Yochanan, who says Malkot Trump, only says it when you have a case of Hatra. But if you don't have a case of Hatra, then he believes that Mamon will trump. The conclusion that you get from that is that Rabbi Yochanan believes in a case where you are Shugeg, in a case where you're Shugeg and you have a choice between Mamon and Malkot, then you go with Mamon and not Malkot, because Malkot will not affect you over here. The Malkot cannot stop the Mamon aspect of it, or they don't affect it because you're not going to get Malkot. Rabbi Yochanan believes that in this case, Malkot won't save you in the case of Shogeg, in the case where you are not having Hatra, where there is no Hatra in this case, and therefore that will be a differentiated position from Ula. Okay, we're going to stop over here on the last line on Lamed Bet, Amud Bet.